Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Football on off the ball.
Brought it back to me that I miss home a lot. I tell you that now, I miss home. I miss my people a lot, but just watching the game, but I think just having that moment with the family was very, very special for me from a personal point of view. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Cathy McNamee here with you to look at all the happenings in the world of football over the weekend, and joining me to look back on what was an intriguing weekend of football away from the Ireland camp is Scarlett Heron. Scarlett, how are you?
All good, Kathleen, how are you?
I'm all good. So tell me, where were you when Troy Parrott changed the face of Irish football?
Well, do you actually want to know, that probably the only person from the island of Ireland, I actually didn't see the game.
Did you have a game yourself?
We were playing Hearts yesterday at 4:10. So I got the first half an hour.
Yeah.
So I heard it was 1-1. And then it was actually, I came in at full time and we had lost against Hearts, so the change room wasn't exactly a good place to be. But Ciara Grant actually turned to me and goes, well, at least one team won today. And I goes, what do you mean? She goes, the lads done it. They've done it for us. So I lifted my spirits after a disappointing day for us personally. But yeah, I actually didn't see it. I watched a bit of it back there this morning, and unreal, just unbelievable.
It was, so I actually had a similarly annoying experience. So it was my dad's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Dad. And I didn't want to leave early in the morning to get back to Dublin to watch the match, but I also didn't want to come late because the last train from Sligo was at like 5:30, 6:00, which wouldn't mean like not getting home till like 10. So I got the train at 3:15. So I got the first half at home, and then I was sitting on the train watching it. But the signal is like really bad for the first couple of legs on the train from Dublin to Sligo. And so I was watching it. It was all going fine. Troy Parrott's goal goes in. My signal drops. So like I scream on this like totally silent train, and everyone turns to look at me. My signal drops. I have no idea if the goal actually counts or not, because obviously it happened so quickly. I was like, he could very easily be offside. You know, they could have been a foul in the box. I don't know. And like desperately texting everyone I knew, being like, did it count? Did it count? And of course, everyone was busy celebrating and stuff. So like no one was getting back to me, and I was just on this train like frantically trying to refresh RT player, like get social media to work, like just something so I could work out whether that goal went in or not. But yeah, it was sensational. Like, it's been such a good month for Irish football in general, from like the women in Belgium, and then we also had the under-17s doing really well as well. They're true to the last 16. So it just feels like for once we're not actually like complaining about Irish football. We're just enjoying it for what it is.
I know it's class. And just seeing like all the videos on social media of people wherever they were celebrating, and just the pandemonium. Like, people in my age group like never experienced sort of like Italian 90 or even like the World Cup in 2002. Like, we've never had like a major tournament apart from like the Euros in 2016, and even that, like, it was so long ago and we were so young. So this is like kind of the first taste of sort of Irish success. Now, if they could go on and qualify, I can't even imagine what the States would look like next summer. But it would be, I think even from where they were 2 months ago after losing to Armenia, I think it's just an unbelievable story to have come back and won the two games. And it's just, it's class. And that's, you know, the last minute winner kind of epitomizes like what Irish football is, of like never give up, you know, last minute winner. Like, it's always class, unbelievable.
I know. And so often we're on the wrong side of these things, mm-hmm. when it comes to football. So it's really nice to actually be able to enjoy the pandemonium, enjoy being on the right side of history. And like Troy Parrott, it's such a good story as well for him. The fact that he scored so many goals in the last week, or not even week, like couple of days besides, but even just like the footballing journey that he's had, you know, things not working out at Spurs, finding his feet a lot more the last season or two. It's class.
Yeah, unreal.
And hopefully we can continue it into the playoffs. That's the thing as well. Like, I got off the train in Connolly yesterday and there was like people chanting Troy Parrott's name and like, we're going to the World Cup. And I was like, someone needs to tell these people we still need to get through a semi-final and a final in the playoffs.
I know. But I think I've seen the clip from Off the Ball during the week of Darragh Smith-Naughton, and he was saying, let's get carried away. Like, feck it. Like, we've nothing to lose here. And like, it's unbelievable. And you have to treasure these moments, because as you said, like, we don't get them very often. So like, beating Portugal and then a few days later having an absolutely like amazing win against Hungary away from home, and those Hungarian ultras, I remember watching the preview of the game and they were all doing the Poznan, and I'm thinking, if they get the first goal, this place is going to be hopping. And then to go 1-0 down 3 minutes into the game, you know, you kind of think
the atmosphere sounded absolutely insane. And even like at the very start, their goal obviously went in and it shot to the ultras and the crowd. I was like, I'm sitting at home in Sligo, like thousands of miles away, and I'm intimidated. I don't know how like the lads in the stadium are actually feeling.
Yeah, I know, it's unreal. And even like all the adversity they faced in the last while, like everybody had written them off. Like every single person in the media, all the supporters, everyone had said, you know, it's, everyone had given up on Hamer as well. And now all of a sudden, if the playoffs go well, he could be getting a 10-year deal. So yeah, it's class.
Yeah, well, congratulations to the boys in green, and hopefully this is the start of an excellent run for both teams to the World Cup, women in Ligue 1 and then also the men in the playoffs in, I think they're in March. So we have a bit of time to bask in the glory before we start panicking about.
Imagine if we had back-to-back World Cups 2 summers in a row.
Massive. It would be amazing. It would be so good. Yeah. And also, we'd be spending a lot of time over on that side of the world with the women's one being down in Brazil. So, be a lot of fun. But anyways, we will cross everything that is what happens. Because major tournaments are fun, but they're even better when we're actually in them. Okay, we'll go back to the other football that was happening over the weekend that, very fair enough, a lot of people have lost sight of. I will admit I did watch the Ireland game over the North London derby, but I don't think I missed all that much, to be honest, watching it back today. But we will first go to the Manchester derby, and I suppose we've been talking so much this season about Manchester United and how maybe this is their year. They're really coming into their own. But we definitely saw glimmers of the old United in this win for Manchester City, 3-0 to them.
Yeah, and I think the thing that obviously stands out most is the scoreline. Like, from a team who last year had such a solid backline and, you know, were kind of renowned for not conceding goals, and that's what we praised them on a lot last year. And we kind of said, right, if they can sort out their attacking line and, you know, get more goals into that team, then they could be nearly unstoppable if they can keep the back locked up. But I think we've seen a few times this season now that defensive solidity is kind of slipping away, and you really see it in this game. I mean, it could be 3-0 down at halftime now when you have the likes of Miedema and Bunny Shaw, who are really starting to, you know, get to know each other very, very well, and their interplay is really, really good. So with that's such a dangerous combo. And then as well to have Lauren Hemp back on the wing, like we've seen, like just the difference she makes from the off, unbelievable. And then I think in midfield, Jess Park, who's been United's outstanding player so far this season, just couldn't really get to grips with the game an awful lot. And I seen Mark Skinner talking after the game just about, obviously, they have Champions League. Obviously, they played PSG during the week. And
that was a massive win for them. But you could definitely see that they were suffering a bit at the weekend from it.
Yeah, a bit lethargic, definitely, in the opening half. But even he said, like, in the winter window, they need to look at bringing new players in to strengthen the squad, because obviously to be competing in maybe 3 or 4 competitions now is going to be really, really difficult for them. And they're playing Wolfsburg, I think, now this week as well. I think they're finding it difficult to come to terms with the midweek games. And obviously Man City aren't doesn't have that problem at the minute. So took full advantage of it. But we're really seeing, we're going to see a two-horse race, I think. So it's great to see that Man City are really going to push Chelsea this year, and that the new system under Jagielka is going to work.
Yeah, it is good to have that bit of competition, and obviously an absolutely massive result for Liverpool and a massive result in that title race with Chelsea drawing 1-1 with them. And we'll look at that in a bit more depth in a second. But in terms of this United squad, and you're talking there about depth and, you know, competing in across three or four different competitions, do you think their issues is something that can be solved by, like, deepening that squad in January and getting a few extra bodies in there? Or do you think it is a more deeper problem than that?
No, well, I think we've seen some of the issues that they've kind of had during the year has kind of been down to depth. Like, if they get Ella Toon was out during the week with an injury, and like she probably wasn't at 100% at the game at the weekend against City. So like you're having players come in who maybe aren't fully fit, and you know that takes its toll on players, you know, playing midweek, playing at the weekend. It's very mentally draining with the travel as well. So I think when you are competing in these extra competitions, you're going to need more than depth. Like, you're going to need extra bodies in, and players that aren't making match day squads, and that increases the competitiveness within the team as well, just battling out for positions. And we've seen a few weeks ago that I think there were only four players on their bench at one stage. So they'll definitely need to grow on that and to try bring in more talented players as well, players that can push for those, you know, starting positions. And we've seen obviously a change in goalkeeper as well, which probably doesn't help with the consistency of the back line, and obviously that's some solidity that we have been talking about. So the root of the problem probably isn't squad depth, but it's something that would definitely help. It would definitely help in a time like this where you are playing maybe two games a week. Now, I know that there's the international break coming up, but it's probably a good time for the players that aren't going to be going away to regroup and to try, you know, refocus on after the international break.
So Manchester City then getting this win, they are obviously in a different position this season than we've seen them previously. Do you think that they have the depth to go all the way? Because that was one of the, again, another one of the kind of questions at the start of the season was that, do they have the full out squad to actually go and get something?
Yeah, well, I think they've brought in, like we've seen a good few players come into the team this year that we probably haven't seen over the last few years. Like, you have the man Benny, who I think has been really, really good, and obviously probably won't get her starting place with Lauren Hemp back in the team, but a good option to come off the bench and to try make a difference. And then we see as well, like, Casper Eyes in the form of her life. Like, I think she got 2 assists at the weekend, just her presence up and down the ring. Like, Jade Riviere is probably, over the last season as well, probably one of United's best players, and she was absolutely turned inside out a number of times, and it's no fault of her own. And then you look at Anna Sandberg as well on the other side as well, having real difficulty with sort of just City's strength out wide, and it's getting the balls continuously into Bunny Shaw. And we know, like, the danger that she poses being in that box. She's their target woman. She's the one they're always going to want to pick out. And then they've made them up behind her, picking up scraps, making things happen in central areas as well. So they're looking really, really strong. And if they can get the likes of Alex Greenwood back in, and Rebecca Knack scored, to be fair, yesterday, and has been doing quite well, but if you can get her back in for sort of leadership qualities that she'll bring as well, I think they'll go a long way.
Okay, let's look at the other top of the table / bottom of the table battle, with Chelsea and Liverpool putting in an intense defensive battle to make sure that they were able to get a point off the title holders. It did look like it was all going to go terribly wrong for Liverpool, especially considering their form this season, with that ninth minute opener for Chelsea. But what a performance from them. But also, are we starting to see the Chelsea flag coming that we've expected for quite some time?
Yeah, I mean, they've been very unconvincing for the past few weeks, and it's a sign of a champion, like a league-winning team, if you can win the games that you don't look the best in, or you can scrape a 1-0 win. That's always a sign of a winning team. But their luck kind of ran out this weekend, so probably might be the sign of a bit of a decline, but I don't think Sonia Bombaster will be, you know, run into any any tight conclusions yet. But yeah, disappointing performance from them. I think Liverpool set up really, really well, very compact, and then hit Chelsea on the break to get one back, which was a great run by Olsen. And then we just see, no, she was taken off at half time as well. And it's, it was a record WSL appearance, 211 appearances from Lily, which is unbelievable, the amount of games she's played and has captained for Chelsea. But we've seen her lack of pace was a real benefit of Olsen.
I saw a lot of people saying that it's time for her to kind of step aside. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we've seen her caught out a good few times this season. And you'd have the likes of Girma coming on now. That was her first game, I think, since a few months ago, coming back from injury in the league. But I think when you have the likes of her battling for that position, you'd have to raise questions. And like, I think Millie Bright's been caught out one too many times. And when you're a team that, you know, steamrolls a lot of the time, but you can't be giving away cheap goals like that. And it's, I wouldn't blame her for the goal at all, because it's, I think it's Canterbury gives up the ball high up the pitch, and they're just, Chelsea aren't set, and they get a lucky, Liverpool get a lucky sort of second deflection on it to send Olsen through. But I just think even on the ball has put them in trouble a few times, and Hannah Hampton's at the saver, and at the weekend Hannah Hampton wasn't there to sort of pull a save out of the bag. But yeah, I've seen a lot of the stuff online about Millie Bright over the weekend, and I wouldn't entirely disagree with it. Now, she's an absolute legend of the league and a Chelsea legend, but I think at some stage you're going to have to, you know, look at new options. And I think Naomi Girma, if you're going to replace the likes of Millie Bright, you know, it's not a bad replacement, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And I mean, you look at how packed that Chelsea squad is, and also some rumours that they might be in for Trinity Rodman over the weekend too. I thought it was funny, I saw that Emma Hayes had to go and talk to the NWSL committee and basically tell them that no, she wasn't telling all the Americans to go play in Europe. For Liverpool, this should have been an absolutely iconic weekend, you know, getting some points on the board, drawing against Chelsea. Well, unfortunately, West Ham did win, which means they are still rooted to the bottom of the table, but surely they'll take a lot from it either way.
Oh yeah, you have to take confidence from games like this. And for Liverpool, it's kind of taken any slight bit of optimism that they can get at the minute, because it hasn't been a pretty season so far. And I'm just looking like they've Arsenal their next game, so it doesn't get any easier for them. But yeah, you have to just take the positives from it. Like, a very solid defensive display. You can't really fault them much for Thompson's goal. Like, it's a lovely strike, cuts inside, and like, no keeper saving that. So can't really fault them too much for that. And afterwards, like, Chelsea did have obviously a lot of possession, but really didn't create much of it. Like, did a few half chances, but didn't really trouble the keeper at all. So you have to have a lot of plaudits for Liverpool. And if they can get that defensive, if they can sort themselves out defensively and sort of build on that, then I know they've lost like the likes of Olivia Smith, which was such a huge loss for them, because she was always their out, the willing runner to you know, even to gain 50 yards on a team to run with the ball and maybe get something, get a corner, throw in high up the pitch or whatever. But they're lacking that at the minute, and just lacking that bit of energy. But if they can get their backline sorted and, you know, become a team that's hard to beat, and if you start racking up points slowly but surely, like, other teams around them are struggling as well, so they're not the only team in this sort of, I suppose, rat race to see who goes down. So, but they really need to start putting points on the board. But it's a good start. It's definitely a good place to get your first point in a while. So
definitely. And you say they have Arsenal coming up next, and that would be a bit of a challenge, but Arsenal aren't doing too well at the moment. I mean, they were 2-0 up against Bayern Munich. They lost that game in the end yesterday. It didn't really look like they had, like, despite the talent in that team, it just really didn't look like they were going to score goals. And that's obviously massively problematic.
No, yeah. I think the first half as well was majorly disappointing from them. Like, you see two changes at halftime. Katie McCabe's kind of been taken off very early in the last few games, which isn't obviously a worry, but it's just something that, you know, we'd raise question marks over as Irish fans. But yeah, the second half was a lot more positive. Like, as I said, Olivia Smith comes on and makes a huge difference. Just her injection of pace and sort of willingness to get forward is something that really helped Arsenal. But I mean, had a handful of chances maybe in the second half. Blackstenius is nearly open goal. Definitely should have done better with that, but it's just one of those where it comes so quickly that I don't think she even had time to think about it. She just maybe stuck a foot out to it. But I've as well as Spurs defended, I think in the position they're in and how well they've been playing this season, you wondered why they didn't go for it a bit more when Arsenal were looking a bit shaky, and obviously making changes to your backline mid-game as well isn't ideal. So I would have thought that, you know, maybe the likes of Olivia Holt would have tried to get forward a bit more and create a bit more. But at the same time, like, dealt with the Arsenal pressure very well, and like a very deserved draw. I didn't think there was many major talking points from it. It was kind of a dull North London derby, apart from the fact that there was a new record, I think, for 6,700 added, yeah. And I think there were 1,500 travelling supporters for Arsenal. And even when you're watching the stream, you can always hear the Arsenal fans over the Tottenham fans. So it's unbelievable, the fan base that Arsenal have grown. And you see players over the weekend and during the week at the Champions League, you know, on social media praising the support that the Arsenal fans have showed them. And it's unbelievable. It's definitely, they have the best sort of women's football supporter base, I'd say, in the world right now. And they've really built a brand for themselves of, you know, making their players role models and, you know, having that, those players for young girls to be able to aspire to. And it's really, really good for obviously the game to be growing as fast as it is. And I think Arsenal have really made their mark in terms of growing the sides of revenue and commercialising it. And I think it's really, really great to see so many fans. I know it's a local derby, but these attendances keep growing, and it's great to see. So that's one thing Arsenal have done right.
We'll hold on to that one thing. Yeah, and actually, anyone listening to this, if you are an Arsenal fan, Off the Ball are running a competition at the moment to bring Arsenal's biggest fans over to the Emirates. So we're running it for a Premier League game, but also for a WSL game. And you'll get to go to the Emirates, go to a game, and watch it alongside either a Premier League or a WSL legend. So definitely check out Off the Ball social medias for that competition, because I mean, I want to win it personally, but I'm not allowed to enter the competition, so I want to see someone else have a brilliant Arsenal experience at the Emirates. Okay, let's look at West Ham in what was an absolutely crucial win for them against Everton, pulling them off the bottom of the table for now, and more concern for Everton.
Definitely very, very dominant first half from West Ham, and something that we haven't seen from them all year was sort of just the willingness to press high and very high energy sort of strategy. And you even see for like the first goal, it's unlucky, it's bad goalkeeping, I don't know where the line is on it, but they get a lucky lead anyway, because it's definitely not a shot from, I think it was a Anoop Denton. Everton really, really struggling without Courtney Brosnan, and I'm not saying that that's the reason, but I think it's playing a huge part in their sort of decline over the last few months. And you just look at a few of the goals, like the third goal is just, it's really, really poor. They're trying to play out and they get caught. And credit to West Ham, you know, they've obviously done their analysis, and they've seen the way that Everton will want to play, and they're saying this is how we're going to catch them out, and they do catch them out by the high press a good few times. And it's a huge win. It's a huge win for West Ham. It kind of makes a bit of a gap now between them and the bottom team. But really, really impressive. And like, they had a win against Southampton during the week as well, when they won 5-0. So the goals are really flowing for them. So if they can keep the confidence of the team high and sort of, you know, keep the goals going in, you never know. An upward turn for West Ham. But yeah, really important win for them. And Everton are struggling.
Yeah. Okay, Leicester, Brighton. Leicester have a very unfortunate record now. They are now 21 games on the road without a win after losing to Brighton, which is the longest record in the WSL. The previous one was set by Yeovil Town, so I'm told, in 2017 and 2019. Brighton, you kind of, like, obviously there was a concern for Brighton whenever they lost Aguiman to the ACL injury, but they seem to be motoring on quite all right.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was probably disappointing for them to let Leicester back in the game later on, but they did well to see it out and obviously add the two goal cushion at the end. But I think the likes of Kiko Seek was really, really exciting. Like, she had a good chance early on, I think, before they scored their first goal, just hit off the crossbar. But like, I think she's a really, really exciting player, and obviously a player who's been with Brighton for a good few years. So really enjoyed watching her at the weekend. And yeah, I think the likes of Madison Haley as well, we haven't seen much of her. I was just looking at her stats there. She kind of struggled last year, for game time and only got maybe one or two goals. But if she can keep finishing them like that, I think she'll be the replacement for Adjiman for the time being. Obviously, her being out with an injury, like you said, the ACL injury. So really, really positive from Brighton, a team that has kind of has been up and down in our rankings for the last while, but kind of just doing what they're expected to do, you know, beat the teams below them, probably compete with the teams above them, but an exciting performance and some good goals to go along with it. So no complaints for them. When it comes to Leicester, I think another team that are obviously struggling, but probably not the best performance from them. I think very like caught overplaying a good bit as well from the back. I think that a lot of teams, like even talking about Everton there, like I think teams down the bottom need to become more familiar with, you know, as I said, being hard to beat and, you know, not overplaying, keeping it very simple. You know, if you can get some like a strong striker to be able to hold it up and to be able to stick things on, and then you have willing runners in midfield that'll, you know, track players, that'll tackle, that'll get forward, and, you know, that'll really win that midfield battle, because I think that's what the teams down below are struggling with, is, you know, trying to play this intricate football and then getting caught out in bad positions. So I think sometimes it doesn't have to be like a long ball game, but I think direct football is probably the way to go for these teams. But managers seem to have their minds made up about,
they have other thoughts.
Yeah, we want to play this like tiki-taka form of football and play out and go wide, come back. Like, I think sometimes you just gotta put your pride aside and do what it takes to win games, you know, get the ball into good areas and sort of and try control it from there. And I think that's something that Leicester might need to look at.
Definitely. One team though that are doing incredibly well and could potentially be eyeing up a Champions League spot with the way they are going is London City Lionesses. They have proven time and time again this season, Scarlett, that they're not here for the crack. They're here to compete.
No, definitely not. And to be fair, it was expected of them. They probably did come into the league with a bit of pressure, just because of all the investment that's been put in. But like, they've dealt with it very, very well, and like they've come to terms with the way the league's played very, very quickly. And yeah, they're establishing themselves, as probably one of the top five or six teams in the league. So they've been really, really impressive. Like, probably not a game to look back on for Villa in terms of their defensive display. I think the two corners are quite poor. You know, Kimanji, I think is how it's pronounced, gets two-headed goals, and like, she's maybe 5 foot one. kind of like, she gets at the second phase of the flick on, but it's just really static. It's really static from Villa, and they want to be doing better there. And then even for, I think is it Dublin's goal?
Mm-hmm.
The ball kind of loops over the defence and then comes back across, but like, her marker is kind of just ball watching and just lets her run off her shoulder completely, and it's like the easiest finish ever. It's going in anyway, but it's striker's instinct just to steal the goal at the last minute. But yeah, and then when you have the likes of Aslani in midfield, who just runs the show for them, to have that experience in there is really, really important. So I think they have a really, really good balance. Like, we're seeing they're defensively solid enough. The goal probably isn't ideal for them, but like, I think they're doing really well, and they probably are gonna keep pushing on. And I, like, you'd fear of a few years' time, I think they could really become a powerhouse in women's football and be challenging with the likes of Chelsea.
Yeah, they're fun to watch as well, which is like always helpful.
Yeah. Really exciting players. Like I said, Aslani, I think, was a really exciting player to watch, and then to have like a mix of experience of like Nikita Paris and then the sort of youth of Goodwin as well up top is really, really exciting. And yeah, I think in a few years they'll definitely be flying, but for this year especially, like, as you said, could be targeting European players.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scarlett, thank you very much for that. I had a thoroughly enjoyable time chatting all things football with you. And we're going to be taking a slight break now just because there is an international window. So the next set of games are on the weekend of the 6th of December. Ireland, of course, have those behind closed doors games in Marbella, which is very nice. I've been over to the training centre there and stuff. It's a nice setup, especially as the weather starts to get a little chillier. But for now, Scarlett, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to Republic of Ireland women's national team. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.